welcome to episode 521 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George. Everyone who studied ancient civilizations knows a little something about the ancient Egyptians. They built the pyramids. They had hieroglyphics that was their written language that decorated their temples and tombs. They invented paper or papyrus. Egypt is one of those places that are on most people's top 5 or top 10 destination lists. Donna was able to join Amma Waterways on a Nile River cruise with pre and post stays in Cairo, and I want to hear about this, so let's get started. So most people think European river cruise when they think river cruise, but you can do it on the Nile too. So
yes. Amma offers a couple of what they call their exotics, and the Nile is one of those.
So, I mean, it looks like you did pre and post in Cairo. So you flew into Cairo?
Yes.
How was that?
It's a little disconcerting. The thing about flying into Egypt, most of their flights that come into Egypt from Europe come in at really odd hours. My flight was supposed to come in about 2 a.m. and I still didn't get in until almost 4 a.m.
Okay. So you had a long layover in France though, right? I remember seeing your
picture. Well, I did, and I planned it that way on purpose, but honestly, the flights into Egypt, they come in at that hour. So it's not that unusual that the international flights come in the middle of the night.
So if, like, for the scope, if you're flying from Paris like you did, how long is that flight to Cairo?
It was about four hours.
Okay, that's not too but what's, crazy.
This is a pretty cool thing is they offer lay flat seats in first class.
Okay.
So you can actually get a couple of hours of good sleep.
Is that what you did? You got one of the fancy
no.
seats? Oh. But you could,
you
right?
You can, but I did not. No, I was actually in what they call priority basically business class. So
when you go to Egypt, do you need any special visas or anything?
You do. And there is actually a kiosk race as soon as you get off the escalators down from your flight before you hit customs that you go in and you can buy your visa right there. It's about $25. However, if you want them to take care of it, they can. So.
Okay. So yep. you have that option?
Yes.
So
yes.
What's it like going through security there?
Well, security in Egypt is a very interesting animal. They check you again and again and again and again.
That's a good thing, though. You know,
it is, and they're being so close to the Middle East, and they are very, very keenly aware of that fact. Mm-hmm. They want to ensure that everybody basically is safe. So what they do is I got off the plane and I went through customs, and they stamped my passport on the visa that's actually in my passport. It's a sticker. And so they stick the sticker in and then they stamp it. And then you have to go through 3 more security checks before you actually hit the pavement. So you have to go through and they're checking, and there's dogs, and there's, you know, they x-ray your luggage and they x-ray it again and they x-ray it again. And, you know, it's just one of those things that is very, very, very common in Egypt.
And did you feel safe?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. One thing you do need to know, though, you need to know a few Arabic phrases, because most of the people that are in Egypt do not speak English. So
interesting.
So okay. you really do need a guide. You need somebody to kind of field what your needs are. Now, that's not, of course, true in the hotels. The hotels, most everybody speaks English in the hotels. But when you're out, you know, dealing with vendors and drivers and things like that, they speak Arabic. So,
okay. And yep. Where did you stay?
We stayed at the St. Regis Hotel.
Fancy.
And this is actually, so I don't normally stay in hotels this nice, just FYI, but this was actually the preferred hotel by AMA Waterways. AMA Waterways is the one who put us up at the St. Regis Hotel.
Nice.
And again, you get there and there is a guy out there with a dog and they're checking under the car, and then you walk into the hotel and there is a metal detector and an x-ray machine, you know. Okay. So as you walk into the hotel and then, you know, you get transported up to the lobby, and the lobby is actually on the fifth floor, which is a little odd for me. I've never seen where the lobby is so far up. But then, of course, we were, you know, high up on, like, deck 10, or what? You can tell I've been on a few cruises. On the 10th floor is where our room was and everything. And I knew that I was getting in really, really at an odd hour. So I actually paid extra for that hotel room because I didn't want to have to sit and wait until 3 o'clock in order to check in.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get in at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, the last thing you want to do is sit around in the lobby. And they don't let you sit around in the lobby anyway. You can't loiter. So, I booked the room and I basically walked in, grabbed a shower, and hit the sack.
Did you book all that through AMA Waterways?
That was all booked through AMA Waterways, yes.
Okay.
But because everybody else was arriving in, you know, later that day or the next day or that night and everything, I actually had booked myself a shopping trip with basically I had a guide come and pick me up at my hotel and take me around to a bunch of different shops to go shopping.
So that's something you found on your own. That was not done through AMA.
No. That was booked through Project Expedition.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you start the AMA portion of it, do they have like some tours in Cairo?
They do. So basically they knew that we were going to be sitting around going to bed. That night we basically had dinner in the hotel because Cairo is also one of those places you don't just go wander off by yourself. You kind of stick to your hotel, you eat at your hotel, you do what you need to do at the hotel, and you don't leave the hotel, especially at, you know, 2 in the morning. So the tour actually started basically for me the second day, and we went up to the Citadel of Saladin. It was a fortress, I want to say they said it was built in the 1600s. Okay. However, the mosque had been built in the 1800s. And sitting on top of the mosque was a clock that was a gift from the French government. And so that's why there is a obelisk in Paris, is because they traded the obelisk for the clock that doesn't work.
Okay.
It's never worked. It's a beautiful clock, but it's never worked.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first day. And then they took us to the Egyptian Museum. Something you need to know about the Egyptian Museum is that this is the original Egyptian Museum. And about 70% of the exhibits have been moved. They have been taken out, and they're going into the new Great Egyptian Museum, the GEM, which has not officially opened. Well, it's partially opened, but most of the displays are not open as of yet. So everything is in kind of holding right now. But we did go to the Egyptian Museum, and another thing you need to know is that it, unlike most other museums, this museum is not air conditioned. It is rather warm. Okay. And they let you carry water into the museum and you can drink your water and everything. Which it was a little shocking to me that, you know, a museum allows you to drink and eat and all, but they do.
Yeah.
But we got to see a lot of the, a few of the pieces that they had taken out of King Tut's tomb. Some of the cool. famous pieces that you've seen, like the headpiece and the chair and his sandals. And so you saw a couple of those really important pieces. And they took us around and showed us some of the oldest pieces in the museum that had been taken. The thing is that Cairo is trying to get a lot of their artifacts back from other countries because, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
all the rest of us stole all their stuff.
All those explorers. Yeah, yeah. I know. There's like Egyptian stuff in a lot of museums.
Correct. And yeah. correct. So they still yeah. have a lot. And they, I mean, we were there the week we were there, they had discovered a new tomb.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was, and they're out there all the time.
Yeah.
So that was the first day. And we did have lunch at one of the hotels and one of the other hotels in town. So
how many days?
I believe
days,
it was the Ritz-Carlton.
How many nights were you in Cairo?
Just two nights. Two nights. Okay. Well, for me, it was three officially. So.
Okay. So you have on here like Memphis, Saqqara, the Great Pyramid, and the Sphinx. Is that all that same day?
That was all, and that was the longest day. They even told us, they said, this is going to be your longest day.
Okay.
And we got up and we got moving and we had to be up and running at, I want to say, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't stop until 7 o'clock that night. So this is definitely yeah. not for the faint of heart. If you have a lot of mobility issues, this is probably not the best trip for you. So we started in Memphis, and Memphis is where they have the giant statue of Ramses the third or second. I can't remember. Anyway, Ramses. And this thing is, I mean, the head is the size of a small house. One of those tiny houses that was just the yeah. size of the head. I mean, it was a huge statue laying on its back, and that was found in Memphis. Then they took us to Saqqara. Saqqara is actually the oldest pyramids in Egypt, and they are what they call step pyramids because they had not perfected the true pyramid shape, and so they basically they were left levels upon levels upon levels. Saqqara is one of those places that is very, very dusty, very, very dry. But it's interesting that from that vantage point, you can see the green of the Nile River. And it's a very distinct line between the fertile area of the Nile River and the desert of the Sahara.
Wow.
It's very, very That's interesting. Cool. And then we went to lunch, and they took us to the Mina House, which is a hotel that is located right at the base of the Great Pyramids. And so you're sitting there looking out, having lunch, and the pyramids are literally right there.
It is wild to, when you see pictures of how close the pyramids are to, like, the city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's crazy.
So we went to the Great Pyramid of Giza. You can go inside. It is an additional cost, even for Amo people. I believe it was $20 a person. I opted not to do it because it's a very steep climb, and you are hunched over because it's only about 5 feet tall.
Yeah, okay.
So you're basically climbing up. And then when you climb back, you have to climb back the same way. There's not another way to go. And so you have to back yourself out. And so, then we ended the day at the Sphinx.
So with AMA, are you the only people there at that time, or are there other tours?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, these are open temple complexes that are open to the public. And so, yes, these are all, but because of the war that's going on in Israel and everything, their tourist crowds have been a third or half of what they usually are. So,
wow.
It was a very, it was crowded, but it wasn't overcrowded.
Okay.
You could get some decent pictures and everything, which was really nice. But in between the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, they took us on a camel ride and let us have our pictures taken basically on a camel with the Great Pyramid in the background.
How did you feel about the camel?
They're loud.
So, but did you have like a, I mean, were you like on top of one? I know they can be one hump or two, right? So what kind of camel did you have?
I don't actually know because they had the harness and all on them. So I don't know what kind of humps they had because they were covered.
So did you?
They were two.
Okay. Was it like riding a horse or what was it like?
It was slower than a horse, and it had a different gait than a horse. So it was slower and more plodding rather than you know, a lighter step.
Was it like laying down when you got on it?
No, you sat. Oh. They were laying down. You got up, and then you kind of leaned back, and they basically hop up.
Wow.
And then you straighten up, and the same thing when they're going down, you kind of lean back so that they can take the weight off their front legs as they're easing themselves down.
Did anyone fall off?
No, nobody fell off.
That would be like my thing. Did they have a weight limit?
No, but I got a great picture of Elizabeth, so.
That's awesome. Yes. Is there like, there has to be a weight limit, but I'm wondering if it's, you know.
I don't think they did. They just put them on bigger camels.
Okay.
Because I didn't see anybody that they turned away.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. So, but you knew in advance, right, that you were going to do that? That wasn't.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So
yes. And that one was an extra cost. I think it was $18.
Okay. So you had to pay extra to do that.
It was a little extra, but you know what? Hey, how often do you get to ride a camel in front of the Great Pyramid?
Wow.
It was worth the $20.
Nice. All right, so that was a very long day. Are you getting on the ship after that?
Well, first you got to get to Luxor.
Okay.
So we had to be out in the lobby of the hotel at 3:30 in the morning.
Nice.
To catch our 6:30 flight.
Oh, so you're Luxor. Flying. Okay.
Yes. So, because I asked, I said, why are we flying? I mean, because it was like a little over an hour flight. I'm like, that's like a 3-hour drive. And they're like, no. No, the roads are not quite so great. So it's not highway driving. So it would take you 7 hours.
Wow.
And they said, that's why they fly.
Is it a smaller plane? They
flew us to Luxor.
Okay.
And we basically dropped all of our bags and we got there and we had lunch. And then they basically took us out after lunch to go to Karnak. And Karnak is this just amazing temple that has all of these columns, and they have everything is just hieroglyphics everywhere. And that is actually the one place that they have one of the very last obelisks in Egypt, in the place where it was actually set.
Wow. That's cool.
So, and then they let us go take a nap. Because we needed it, because we were up at 3:30 in the morning. But that was our first day on the ship.
Okay, so you took a nap on the ship.
Took a nap on the ship, yes.
And then did you go back out to see some more things in Luxor?
No, we were done, and everybody went to bed early that night because we got up the next day, and we went to the Valley of the Kings and the Valley of the Queens. So Luxor has a couple of different things. So Karnak is actually on the main side, on the east bank of, I'm sorry, the west bank of the river. The east bank is where they always would have, east is where, nope, I do have it backwards. So it's on the east bank.
Right.
Karnak is on the east bank. So all the temples for the living are on the east bank because that's where the sun rises. And then all the temples for the dead and the tombs are always on the west bank because that's where the sun sets.
Okay.
So we went to the west bank and they actually do balloons, hot air balloons over there. Now, of course, we didn't get to do it, but it is a, it is offered and it's something that you can do while you're in Luxor.
Is that something Ama offers or is that like, that's an extra cost?
It is okay. Something you would have to schedule on your own and do completely on your own.
Okay.
But they do have the hot air balloons over the Valley of the Kings.
Okay.
And these are active archaeological sites. So we saw three of the tombs. We saw one of the ones for Ramses. We saw one King Tut's tomb. And then we also saw Seti the First. And all of these are quite amazing that they're in, it's so concentrated in a small area, all of these tombs. And they're covered with hieroglyphics and everything. But what's interesting is that they would do, they would start with the inner sanctum. So those are always the most finished. Is the most inner area where the king would be laid to rest. And so those would be completely carved. Those would be completely painted. Those would be completely designed from top to bottom. And as you got further and further away from that, towards the entrance to the tomb, it would be less and less and less done. And so, because what would happen is that they would start this... Basically, as soon as they became king, they would start on their tomb and they'd start in this inner sanctum and start working out. And if the king died, like King Tut, after 9 years, they'd seal up the tomb and put him away and they'd start on the next one for the next king.
Okay.
So they a lot of them never got finished. But Seti the First, because he had ruled for 50, 60 years, his was the most finished and most complete. So.
That is so wild.
It is.
I can't imagine being the people who find this. You know, like, did they talk about, like, how long it was, like, how long it was there before it was kind of discovered again?
Well, most of them were discovered, and they knew about them, but King Tut was the oddball. Because King Tut's tomb was actually on top of another one, and as they were excavating the one that was next door to it, they kind of pushed all their rubble on top of King Tut's, and so that's why it stayed hidden.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's how Howard Carter found it. But the interesting, the other thing is there's the Temple of Hatshepsut. Hatshepsut!
Okay. What is it?
She is the only female pharaoh that is actually in this general area of the Valley of the Kings. And that's what makes her very unique is because she was female. And her temple is actually quite a bit different because it's a different design and it's more like a Greek temple where it's got the columns on the outside. Which is unlike some of the other temples that, you know, you've seen.
Okay. Interesting. So that was that all one day?
Yes. Well, Karnak was one day, and then the next day was the Valley of the Kings.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yes.
And then, so there's a lot of temples and stuff on
there. There is. and the great thing is that all of these have an Egyptologist. So each small group has their own Egyptologist, and they are just a complete wealth of knowledge. It's amazing all the things that they know, and they were able to explain everything.
How many nights were you on the ship?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
7 nights. And most of the tours of the Nile, excuse me, most of the Nile River cruises are 3 to 4 nights. So having a tour that was 7 nights, as much as we were seeing, I can't even imagine how rushed you would be in 3 to 4 nights or even 5 nights. Because seven nights is very rare.
So was it like going down the Nile and then turn around and go back? Did you see different things on each way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Gotcha. All right. So then Edfu?
Edfu. Yes. The Temple of Horus. So okay. That was just because we were kind of, we had to get all the way down to Aswan, which is a little bit of a trek. So we only did one temple, and that was the Temple of Horus in Edfu. So that was a short day, and we actually got to take naps and get massages. And,
was there a spa?
All those fun things. Well, there's a small massage room on the ship, and Sally was the only female employee on the ship, and she was the massage therapist.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what life was like on the ship, because I know you've done Alma River cruises before. And I know that, you know, one of the things is one of the owners is an architect and he designs all the ships, but this is not one that they built, right? This is one that
they did. They actually did build it. But the thing is unlike, they don't manage it necessarily. Okay. Because it has to be an Egyptian company and it has to be Egyptian employees and everything. So it's more of a partnership. They do own the ship and they did have it built, but it has to be built to the Egyptian specifications.
So it's different size than
it is.
What
it is.
Seeing?
So it's 4 decks instead of the 3 decks. So 4 decks of cabins. And then you have a top deck, which has the sun deck. The placement of things were a little different. So instead of the dining room being on the bottom floor, it was actually on the 3rd floor.
Okay.
And then you've got the captain's table, which is actually on the 4th deck. And it actually has windows. So they open it up because the nights in Egypt are actually pretty reasonable as far as temperature. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice breeze. And so they would open the windows. And
so did they have like the lounge and entertainment in the lounge?
They did. Okay. So they had a whirling dervish that came on one night. They had belly dancers. They had musicians. But it wasn't every night. It was just like every other night that they would have entertainment.
It sounds like they really wore you guys out.
That's true too. So they didn't, they honestly didn't expect us to be partying all night and doing karaoke because, you know, it's a rough schedule. So.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So you get down to Aswan.
Yes.
And that's your turnaround point. What was Aswan like?
So Aswan, they took us on a felucca, which is those little sailboats that they run on the Nile River. The problem was there wasn't any breeze, so we had to be towed.
They don't put a motor on that thing?
No, they do not have motors on them, but we had to be towed by another boat. And then we got off the ship, and they took us over to Philae. Philae is a very interesting temple because it was actually when they built the first Aswan Dam, it flooded the area where Philae was. And so they had to raise it up and basically move the temple up to higher ground. So we went and looked at that. And as they were doing it, they had they had basically done all the things by piece, by piece, by piece, which was kind of a trial for what they were doing at Abu Simbel, which we'll talk about that in just a minute. After we spent the morning at Philae, they took us over to a Nubian village because this was considered Upper Egypt. Lower Egypt was closer to the Delta. Upper Egypt was where the Nubians lived. And they have lots of bright colors on their buildings and their domed ceilings. Very, very much unlike the square boxes that are typically Egyptian.
Interesting.
And then for, this was an extra cost that we did. I'm like, how often are you going to actually go to Aswan? So we had high tea at the Cataract Hotel. The Cataract Hotel is a historical hotel that hosted Agatha Christie when she wrote Death on the Nile. And we actually got to see the suite where her suite. Mm-hmm. And we also got to see the suite that Winston Churchill stayed in when he would visit Egypt.
That's cool.
This is a very, very nice historical hotel. And so we had high tea, and normally tea's at 4 o'clock, but they had tea for us at 6 o'clock as we were watching the sunset.
Pretty. Nice.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So you kind of teased Abu Simbel. Is that how
you
say
it? Abu Simbel. Okay. So again, we flew.
Oh.
So this is an additional cost. It was very, considering there's a flight involved, it was actually pretty reasonable. I want to say it was about $350. Mm-hmm. So we flew down to Abu Simbel, got on a bus down there, and they took us to the temple. That's the big one where the big four King Ramses are sitting up. And I stood in front of it and I didn't even reach his toes. So just to give you a general idea of the size. So what happened was, is when they built the high dam, they basically had in Aswan, they flooded that area and that's now Lake Nasser. Well, 200 feet down, they had this temple, Abu Simbel, and they had to relocate it. So they basically brought them up piece by piece by piece, and it was actually four temples that they had to move. So they moved the big one, they put it in, and they actually built this artificial cliff in order to build it into the cliffside, just like it was down in the original.
Okay.
And they have pictures there that you can see how they moved it. Well, the United States government and the French government actually helped provide a lot of the support and financial support in order to take care of this project.
What time frame were they doing this?
They were doing this in the 1960s.
Okay.
And so they actually, so as a thank you from the Egyptian government, there is a temple inside the Met Museum in New York, and that's the one from Abu Simbel. And then there's also one, I think, in the Louvre. I can't remember where the French put it, but the French have one as well.
Wow.
But they were filling the dam, and so they actually had to build a coffer dam in order to finish the work because they couldn't finish the work on time.
Wow.
And this one, so in a lot of the temples that were in Upper Egypt, they had actually been defaced by early Christians. So in the third century AD, they actually wanted to get rid of the Egyptian religion. And so a lot of early Christians that occupied some of these temples would basically chisel out the faces of all the gods. Abu Simbel,
yeah.
It was so far south that it didn't get defaced. So this is what it really would, most of these other temples would have looked like had they not been damaged.
Wow.
So
that's not an included part of the tour, but it seems like it's a really, kind of must do.
It is. It really is. And you really should go down there and do it. Yeah. If you don't end up going down it, they basically take you shopping in Aswan.
Okay. So then are you turning around and going
back? Yep. Well, you fly back, and as you get back on the ship in Aswan, they take you just a hop, skip, and a jump up the river, and you go to Kamombo. And Kamombo is a unique temple because it's the only temple that they have ever found that is actually dedicated to two gods at the same time. Most of these temples are all single gods. This one actually was two. It was Horus and the crocodile. Can't remember his name. The crocodile god. But what's interesting about this particular one is also it showed you there's a relief on one of the walls that actually has all these medical instruments. Forceps and scalpels and things such as that that are very similar to the exact same medical instruments that they use to this day.
Wow.
That's so that particular awesome. Temple really gives you an insight as to the medical knowledge of these priests.
That's really cool. So I feel like we need to kind of speed up a little.
Okay.
So you go back to Luxor. Do you just do that in like one day? Like
yes. Yeah. Okay. So we get there in the afternoon and we go to the Temple of Luxor and a papyrus gallery. Okay. So you learn about where the papyrus is made and then we keep going up the river. Okay. This is where it really deviates from other companies is they took us to Cana and to the Temple of Hathor. And this particular temple is one of the most colorful of all of them. It was actually my favorite.
Yeah?
Yep. And it's one of the most intact. So they also, this one we had all to ourselves because the other tour groups don't go there.
Nice.
That was nice. And we actually got to go up on the roof and go some of these secret passages and everything. Ooh, so it's a very unique space. And then we get back to Luxor and we fly back to Cairo.
All right. And you did a little bit of a post too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there is the Abdeen Palace and it was a palace for Farouk during the Napoleonic times in the mid 1800s. And this is a beautiful palace that's all done in French architecture and French design. And we got a private tour of the palace, and then we got to have lunch in the palace. So
cool. And were you staying at the St. Regis again? Or?
They stayed us. Okay. Yeah, they took us back to the St. Regis for one night for just a couple hours. We took a couple of naps and went to the Egyptian restaurant because it was so amazingly good. So we went for a second time.
Nice.
And then headed to the airport to come home.
So is there anything else you want to touch on about the difference between European river cruise and the Egyptian one? Anything?
Well, it's just a different animal, and you really need to know that it's not going to be the same. And if you're expecting the same as AMA in Europe, it's just not going to be that. Okay. Entertainment is not quite the same. The tours are, you're in a bubble in Egypt and you get on the bus, you're with a police officer that is armed with a machine gun and they follow you around and they go with you and they take you to all these different places. You really can't stray away from your bubble. And that's unlike a lot of the things that are in Europe. And that's one of the things that it's a little disarming at first, but then you get used to it and it's just, they're not even there. They basically kind of blend into the background. But if you look, they're on the boats with you. They're on the buses with you. So.
Well, that's good though, because I can see where it'd be a little disconcerting, but at the same time, I think that, you know, what's going on in this part of the world right now, it's good that they have that level of security and, you know,
and that's one of the things I really wanted to stress, that want to make sure that you feel safe. And I did. I mean, I had no issues whatsoever anywhere. It was just, you couldn't wander on your own, which is something I like doing.
Yeah. So no popping into a grocery store.
No, I couldn't go to a grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't bring any beer home.
Alrighty, cool. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna and George and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.